Hope you all had a great time celebrating Christmas this week. I'm sure there were many gifts that were given and lots of food that was eaten, both good food for you and probably not so good food for you. I know we had several celebrations this week. It seemed like with Christmases, with different sides of the family and Ellie's birthday, it was like we've had a month of celebrations. So hopefully we can all get back to our regular diets here in the next month. One 11-year-old boy, I watched a video this week, he received a present that he never imagined would happen. Let's watch the news story with me.
They all agreed and showed a lot of unselfish love and said, without a doubt, we want him to be part of our family.
A heartwarming story you'll only see on Fox 28. A little boy had never experienced a true Christmas, that is, until this year. The future for 11-year-old Carter Wiles was uncertain until he spent Christmas with his aunt and uncle in Fairfield County this week.
And new video of his unforgettable Christmas present is now going viral. Haley Nelson joins us now. Haley, his future is a whole lot more clear tonight, isn't it?
Terry, that's very true. After a Christmas surprise that more than 4 million people have now seen, surrounded by cousins that could soon be his siblings, Carter and family talked with us. They never thought the video would get so much attention, but they tell me they're glad to share their good news tonight.
Okay, this is for you. This is from all of us.
In a video now watched by more than 4 million people on Twitter, 11-year-old Carter Wiles opens his final Christmas gift. Inside, he finds a picture frame and a note.
This is our most recent picture of our family. All of us would love for you to be in the next picture and to be part of our family. Carter, would you like to be a kid part and be in our son and brother?
What do you think, buddy?
It's the moment Carter learns his aunt, uncle, and all of his cousins want to adopt him.
That's a yes? Yay!
The family talked with us.
They say we're gonna have some awesome time together.
About the moment filled with tears and hugs.
For me, it was very emotional.
The adoption process for an outside family was starting. And that was a really, really hard thing for us to accept and know that this might have been the last time that we were ever going to see Carter, and felt that it was really important for us to keep him in the family.
So they put together the Christmas surprise.
It feels awesome.
And all the attention online, unexpected.
It makes me feel good that other people can enjoy my happiness and my family's happiness.
Thanks.
A lot of people talk about how lucky he is, and we're just as fortunate to have him join our family.
We love you, buddy.
I love you.
Now you can stay here forever.
The family tells me they've contacted an attorney to get the process started. It's still early, but they do hope to get him enrolled in their local school district. They believe Carter will fit right in to their blended family. But for now, live in studio, I'm Haley Nelson.
I'm not crying, you're crying. Don't look at me, don't look at me.
He was given one of the most precious gifts that I don't think he even expected. It's a lot of things we ask for Christmas, and sometimes we get things that are expected, and sometimes we get things that are unexpected. It's a wonderful blessing that he's now, they're going to work on him becoming a part of this family. But God has offered us something even more amazing. God has written a note asking us if we would like to be adopted and join his family as well. Our verses that we've been going through, Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, say, but when the fullness of time had come, God's perfect timing, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Adoption as sons and daughters. God writes an adoption note to us. And God spells it out in His Word what that process looks like. There was a price that needed to be paid in order for adoption to happen. And that's the same thing in this life. They talked about hiring an attorney, and attorneys aren't cheap. There's a cost to adoption. And the same thing goes for God. There was a cost for Him to adopt His children. And that cost was sending His Son to die on the earth to pay the penalty for my sin and for your sin. The first point this morning that comes out of our Galatians 4 verses that God is fully responsible. God is fully responsible for our adoption. There isn't anything that we do that causes Him to adopt us. God is completely responsible for all the actions in adoption. In John chapter 1, it says this: "But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right," speaking of God, "God gave the right to become children of His, children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but they were born of God." Born of God. There's nothing we can do, not of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but born of God. God initiated our adoption, and God met all of the necessary demands for that adoption. God fulfills all the responsibilities of being our adopted Father, of being our Father. We sang a little bit ago the song, "Good, Good Father." And I think that song puts it pretty plainly that God is a good Father who adopts us because it's part of His loving nature. It's who He is. That phrase is repeated in the song. It's who He is. It's who He is. He's a loving God who wants to provide for His children. It reflects His character. Because God loves, He chose to bring more people into His family. God choosing to adopt us is based on His love, not on our love towards Him, not on anything we can do. It's all on God. Ephesians chapter 1 says this: "Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will." It was according to the purpose of His will. It wasn't according to the purpose of my will. There would be a lot of stuff messed up if it was according to the purpose of my will. The earth would not look anything like it does right now. Because humanity's will is flawed, but God's will is perfect. And in God's perfect will, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. He predestined us for adoption. God chose that we would be His children. Do you realize that God at some point in history's past decided to adopt you by name? God decided to adopt you by name. At some point He said, "Roger, would you like to be my son?" At some point He said, Jack, would you like to be my child? At some point He said, "Jane, would you like to be my daughter?" God said that at some point in eternity's past. He said, "I want to adopt you. Would you like to be my child?" I watch action movies sometimes, and there's always a hero, right? There's always a hero in action movies, and there's always somebody that has a problem. There's always something that's gone wrong. It's, usually a guy who is trying to save the girl, right? There's usually a whole situation that they're trying to get them out of. They've been kidnapped or whatever. And by the end, what usually happens? The hero goes in, and it's not just the girl he needs to save. He has to save everybody else, right? And sometimes we think of ourselves as that in God's story. We're the everybody else. God came in to save somebody specific, but we're kind of the collateral damage to his adopting that one person. That's not how God works. God is deliberate in his choosing of you. God is deliberate. There was no accident in you coming to faith in God. It was deliberate. It was chosen before the foundations of the world. See, God wasn't even reluctant in his choice to adopt you. God had a purpose. God had a plan, and he purposefully chose you to be his child. So God is fully responsible. Not only that, but we are adopted through faith. We are adopted through faith, the Bible tells us. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. In Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Paul's talking to the church in Galatia, Christian church, they're believers there. And he's saying, for in Christ Jesus, for in Jesus you believed and you're all sons of God through that faith. To have faith means you're trusting in something or someone. Of course, I brought an illustration with me. I can say this is a really sturdy ladder. I can even tell you I've been on this ladder several times since I started working here. I can say this is a good ladder. I can look, and on the side, do it this way. On the side, there's instructions. It tells me how high the ladder is. It tells me how high I can probably get on the ladder. And it tells me lots of stuff. But one of the most important things on this ladder is it tells me that I shouldn't be over 250 pounds to stand on this ladder. Right? Thankfully, I've lost some weight. I can tell you that I trust this ladder. This is a good, sturdy ladder. I trust that ladder. Am I putting my trust on that ladder? No. I can say, I trust this ladder. Am I putting my trust on that ladder? No. I can probably even say, I trust this ladder. Am I putting my trust in the ladder? Well, if I fell this far, I'd be okay, right? But if I'm putting my trust in the ladder, I'm putting my trust in the ladder, right? You know how sometimes things can go horribly wrong? I'm looking at Jack because that went pretty good, I think. We put our trust in things through actions a lot of times. We can talk about having faith in something. We can talk about believing in something. We can talk about trusting in something. But it's not the same until your feet hit the floor and you're actually living out that trust and living out that actions. And so, for in Christ Jesus, you're all sons of God through faith. Our faith is saying we trust God and living that out. The actions that we do on a day-to-day basis to live out the faith that we have. You see, our faith is also what we do. And so, because I have faith, I try to live my life as God spells it out in his book that we are to live, because I believe that God says, this is how you're to live your life. This is the best way you can live your life is according to this. And so I try to live my life according to what he says. Do I mess up sometimes? Yes. Am I always perfect? No, there was only one who was perfect. Stacy said something, made a comment the other day. She's like, nobody's perfect. I was like, well, Jesus was. I was like, he's still alive. I'm not perfect. I mess up sometimes, but I try to live out what I say I believe. Both of my girls, they've been in the church from a very young age. Ellie was in our church in Michigan not too long, probably a week or two after we had her. She's in church, and she hasn't missed too many Sundays since then, being in a church. Naomi, she was here in the nursery not too long after she was born, and she hasn't missed many Sundays. They've been in church on a weekly basis. Because I'm the pastor, they're probably at the church more than most people, but they're at the church a lot, but that doesn't make them a Christian. I pray that my girls will have faith in God, will believe in what God has done, that they will take that step and they will make it a part of their lives and they will live it out. You see, part of the adoption process is that there has to be faith involved for spiritual adoption. There has to be faith, belief in what God can do, because if there's not belief, we're not going to live it out. If I look at this ladder and I say, oh, it's not going to hold me, am I ever going to step on the ladder? Uh-uh. Not a chance, because I won't have faith in the ladder. And so there has to be belief in who God is, or we'll never live out what he tells us to do. Third thing, adoption brings changes. The little boy, the video we watched, his life isn't going to be the same as it could have been. They said the adoption process had already started for another family, and his life could have looked much different, but his life is going to change. It's going to change for him because he's no longer going to kind of feel like he doesn't belong anywhere. He's going to feel like he belongs now to this family. They decided, I want to adopt you. We want you. We all decided. It was a unanimous decision. We want you to be a part of our family. Adoption brings changes. In Jesus' day, an adopted son or an adopted daughter, there were major changes that happened. There was a change of family. There was a change of name. There was a change of home. And there was a change of responsibilities. There are changes that happen when a person is adopted. One of the major changes for a Christian is that they're no longer to be living by their earthly nature. We're now to have the Holy Spirit inside of us, and that is to lead our lives. That is to direct our actions. And that changes the relationship we have with God our Father. Our verses in Romans chapter 8 say this: for all who are led by the Spirit, because the Spirit's leading us of God, are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. That Spirit is now leading us, and our relationship with God is different, the Bible says. We're no longer just to direct him as God, but we're to direct him as Abba. That is a very personal relationship. When I come home from being at the church for a while, usually my girls are, you know, just gotten up from a nap and they're awake at that point. When I get home, they don't walk up to me and go, hello, Father. How are you today? What do I hear? Daddy! Or, Dada. A little bit slower for that one. You hear that personal greeting. It's not a hello, Father. It's not a scared thing. It's not anything. And Paul's comparing it here. We haven't received this spirit of slavery that God is ruling over us and God is gonna get us. That's not what we have received, Paul says. But and we're not to have fear in that, but we have received a spirit of adoption. Because God has put his Holy Spirit inside us, and that changes our relationship. And so we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy. Cry out, Daddy. Because we now have a personal relationship with our Heavenly Father. For so many children, being orphans, not having a family, means that they don't feel like they fit in. They don't feel like they belong anywhere. They may move from home to home or have different people that care for them. And many suffer from feelings of just being abandoned. But becoming a part of a family gives them a place to belong and people who care for them. They become a member of the family. They have a home. They have new responsibilities. And they're a part of the family. Paul says that those who are led by the Spirit are now sons or daughters of God. Believers now have a name change. Believers now have a title change. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you are a son of God. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you are a daughter of God. We have the promise of a new home. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to make a home for you. And we know in Revelation, the Bible tells us that all things will be made new, and there will be a heavenly city that will come down, and we will worship God, and there won't need to be any sun because God's going to be there, and the brightness will just be everywhere because of his glory. His glory will fill the earth. God is preparing a new place for his adopted children. Finally, this morning, adoption means permanent inheritance. Adoption means permanent inheritance. The next verses in our Romans chapter 8 passage, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Paul's saying we're going to be heirs of Christ, and you realize that Paul is writing to a Gentile people, the Romans. Paul is writing to people who didn't have Jewish heritage, and he's saying God chose you and God adopted you, and you're going to be heirs of God. This is very proper language for Paul to be addressing the Gentiles. In Jesus' day and age, in Jesus' time, a child who was born naturally could be given up. A child who was just by natural birth in the family, the Gentiles, the Romans, believed that you kind of got what you got. You know, they looked the way they looked, their hair was the way their hair was, it was just the way it was. You didn't really have a choice because they were just born. But if you were adopted, the family could not give you up. Because you knew what you were getting. You see, God knew what he was getting. When he chose each of you by name, he knew. You say, well, if God knew what I had done, he would never. Oh, God knows what you've done. And he did choose you. The adopted person lost all rights from his or her old family, but they gained all the rights in the new family. You see, for the early church, Paul's language here, his usage of the term adopted towards these Gentiles shows how God chose the children that he wanted to bring into his family. And those members could not be taken out of it. Later in Romans, this is what Paul is saying. Romans 8, 38 and 39, it says, "For I am sure," these are some of my favorite verses, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Paul's saying there is nothing that can take you away from God. Not death, not life, not angels, nor rulers, nor things present, not anything. Not anything you can see, not anything you can't see. Nothing can separate you from God. Because God chose you. Our adoption means this. God has done all of the work. God has full responsibility for choosing and adopting. There is a faith component, though, that we talked about. You have to believe in what God has done for you. You have to believe that God sent his son to die on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins, that payment was enough to cover your sins, both past, present, and future. That was done. And then you live in such a way, because you have faith in him, you live in such a way that your life then emulates or mirrors what God commands. Again, that's not always perfect. We're human, we fail. But your life will never be the same because of your decision to have faith, to believe in God and his adoption and his work within your life. As Jack talked about putting the hand inside the glove this morning, once that hand is inside that glove can do a whole lot of things. Our adoption means we have a permanent inheritance. Permanent. God's not going to kick us out of his family. We're in. My question this morning, would you like to join God's family? God asks you, he writes a letter. It's a fairly long letter. Longer than any letter I've ever written. God writes a letter. But the point of the letter is that he loves us. He loves us so much he sent his son. He loves you so much he wants to have a relationship with you. And he asks this question, would you like to join the family? Would you like to be a part of this family? Now, it's going to mean some things are going to change. But God asks that question. If you've never done that, if you've never made the decision to be a part of God's family, if you've never decided to have faith or trust in God, I'd love to talk with you about that. Come talk with me afterwards. I usually hang around till everybody's gone, so you want to talk, come talk to me, or you can email me, text me, whatever you want to do. I'd love to talk to you about that. If you're a Christian this morning, I have a question for you too, or a thought for you too. Thank God for adopting you. Let's pray this morning. God, to be a child of yours, I think there are times we don't even know what that means. We don't even realize that we now are a son of God. When we face adversity, when we face trials in our life, when we're being tempted, I can say, no, I don't need to do that because I am a son of God. I am a child of God. I have a new name. I don't have to live the old way because I've been given a new name. I have a new inheritance. My new inheritance is not trapped in sinfulness as it was in the past. I have a new inheritance that I can be free. Would you take a moment this morning as we're praying and just say to God, thank you. Thank you for adopting me because, and just fill in the blanks. God, thank you for adopting me because I was lost. God, thank you for adopting me because without you, I'd be like an empty glove. God, thank you for adopting me because you give purpose, you give meaning, you give hope. God, thank you for taking the steps necessary. God, thank you for choosing us by name. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you. There's nothing that no angels or powers or height or depth or anything that can be done because you love us so much that we're a part of your family. And that's going to be till eternity. Pray this in Jesus' name.